obviously you made a right turn, because here's the wrong kind of podcast.
Thank you, Bull. I keep forgetting that you now listen, so you know what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. If you figure that out, let me know. So there's Derek and Yancey over there.
Ahoy.
Megan is not there, but there's a Hulk of a man. Like, where'd you get that nickname, Hulk?
That's a very funny story, and it's not...
You know.
You're a fan.
That's my shit. That.
Awesome.
So, Jaron Watkins.
Yes, sir.
Where do you hail from, Jaron?
I'm actually homegrown, just down south. I grew up in South Coffeyville, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
My wife lived here in Coffeyville, and we moved to Tulsa for several years, but we ended up moving back once I got hired on with the PD.
So you're a young man that is a active officer of the Coffeyville Police Department?
Yes, sir.
What are you, like a patrolman, deputy, lieutenant?
Just street cop. I call myself a street cop.
But
patrolman, that's the official title.
Awesome. So the reason you're here is last weekend you went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were supposed to be there, but we decided to avoid the storms, which got lamed out on that deal. It wasn't nothing anyway. Well, not here. People did pass. Not here, though. So we didn't go, so we had to watch it on Facebook. So you decided that you were going to let people beat on your face, and you were going to be on other people's faces at the smoking guns. Is that how many years they've been doing that?
That was number 9.
That was 9?
Yes, sir.
I've only learned about this 2 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a deal. If you get a chance to go next year, go. It's general admission, except for the exclusive people down there on the floor. Mm-hmm. Was all the dignitaries there this year again?
I believe so. I'm going to assume so.
Governors and representatives. And
yeah, even sponsored a couple of fights.
Yeah.
Mark Wayne and...
It seems like they have a hell of a production, too.
Really?
They know they are very well put together.
It's a hell of a show, man. It really is. And like I said, general admission, everything except the floor, we sit right down front. I mean, it was a great show. Yep. And go support your hometown people. I would have if it had to been for the thunderstorms. So how did you decide that you wanted to beat the hell out of people in front of 10,000 people?
Honestly, it goes way back into my childhood. I've been interested in combat sports since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. My grandpa is to thank for that. William Gillespie, Mitchell Gillespie.
Gillespie's your grandpa?
Yes, sir.
Who's your mom then?
Shelley Gillespie.
I don't know your mom, but...
Mike Gillespie's my uncle.
Your dad, your grandpa is... He gets high ranking with me, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so...
That's very cool.
Granddad, when I was young and little... not allowed to watch that stuff in grandma's house, but when grandma wasn't around, grandpa would put on Mike Tyson fights.
And that's why we like Mitch.
And by the time I was 10 years old, I watched every single Mike Tyson fight up to the point of, you know, he was still fighting into those years, I think. I think his last fight was maybe like...
What, 2000-ish probably? 2001, sort of?
So I had seen all his fights, became obsessed with it. And then, ironically enough, between the boxing matches that I got to watch on TV and the Cops TV show, you get a product of me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Here, let me arrest people and occasionally hit people.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
That's why I watch live PD, just to see those big rip dudes like, please just throat slam somebody. That's all I want to see.
I do enjoy watching the Sovereign Citizen videos. It's like, come on, please do something stupid.
You know what the situation kind of reminds me of? Like vanilla Ronnie Coleman. You know, like
I know the name. Hold on, Ronnie Coleman.
Ronnie Coleman was the Mr. Olympia,
9-time Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, all right. And he was a cop in Texas. Mm-hmm. And could you imagine Ronnie Coleman stepping out of a patrol car when he pulls you over, and you're just like, "Hey, man, I don't know what I did, but I did it."
It's cool. All right? Here's all my weed.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't want any of it.
Yeah. Good. Cool. So,
but to answer your question more thoroughly, what got me interested? It was box. You know, I watched his last two fights, and we work right across the hall from each other. And to be honest, I had never really met him up until I asked him to coach me.
Okay.
Because I never had the opportunity to participate in something like this. I did boxing training throughout the years, especially when I was in Tulsa. I did a lot of wrestling. I did a lot of striking, mainly just boxing, just to do it for the cardio, just for the enjoyment of it, just to be in the world somehow. And. Yeah. I mean, my favorite MMA fighter of all time is Dan Henderson. You know, I've met him once at the Spirit Bank Event Center back when they held MMA fights there when Strikeforce was still a thing. And
that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, you know, the opportunity just kind of fell into my lap, really, because it's like, you know, I didn't realize when I talked to Box, I was like, you know, how do I go about this? Because, you know, it's just something that I feel like I need to do. And he's like, let me get you an app. And I got handed a piece of paper, filled out 10 questions, turned it back into Daniel Twist, the fight coordinator.
Yeah.
And I was on the docket.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
wow.
They did a really good job matching up the fights, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
every fight was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was no snooze fest during that thing.
No, mm-hmm. No. Twist worked really hard. Daniel Twist worked really hard this year to make sure those fights were entertaining. So kudos to him.
The guy that you fought, I knew he was a good sized kid, and that guy walked out. I thought, well, hell, this guy's just about the same damn size.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he seemed to do all right. Yancey, what was you going to ask him?
Oh, I was just, we're kind of on the subject of what I was going to ask. I was just going to ask how the event process worked,
mm-hmm.
and how the fights are matched up. And sure. then which departments are chosen to participate, so on and so forth. You said that you were given an application. What's the, how many applications are there? What's the attrition? That sort of
sure.
thing.
Sure. So. Honestly, man, I was pretty hands-off with it all. Like I said, I got handed a 10 questionnaire, basically just, do I have an MMA or a boxing background? Do I have a combat sport background? So I put down, I've trained boxing for about 5 years, not consecutively, but a good 5 years I felt comfortable with stating, and then a little bit longer in wrestling, just again, for the enjoyment of it, mm-hmm. never competed like I would have liked to on the scale that was at the BOK this last weekend. But,
you could see the wrestling background in your fight. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I literally got, I got a email sent to me from Daniel, printed it off, filled it out, sent him a scan back of my questions that I, answered. And he told me, all right, man, I'll work on getting you a fight. Box, I think, I owe Box a lot, man. I need to take him out to dinner and get a couple beers because he, I think he put in a pretty good word for me. Box and Daniel had became, I would consider them friends, from the last 2 years he's fought. And mm-hmm. Box is definitely no one to shake a stick at. Like he knows his stuff. Like he's very, very, especially his striking. He's very, very intellectual. He's very good at molding. From his standpoint, he was able to look at what my strengths were and really capitalize on them. And that helped me a lot in this fight. But yeah, no, the fight itself and the process was pretty hands off. I turned the app in, and maybe 2 months. I trained for 8 months for this fight.
That was one of my questions.
Just under 8 months. So, but I think after the third or fourth month of starting the process of training is when I actually got an email from Twist saying, "Hey, man, I got you a fight lined up." And ironically enough, my first fight, the guy dropped out. I think he had a pec tear. He was training, and one of his pec muscles ended up getting injured pretty bad. So I didn't think.
I got one of those.
Yeah, you got a pec muscle. Yeah.
The fight that I had with Nick Gagliardi or Gigliardi, I didn't know I was going to fight until 2 months before the actual fights. Like I really thought I wasn't going to get anything, and then Nick took up the torch, man. I owe Nick a lot too, because he was a very, very humble guy. Like he was. Yeah, we'll get into that, but
yeah,
But as far as the process goes, man, honestly, I didn't know a lot. I was like, hey, man, I'm showing up. He's like, hey, you ain't got to worry about anything. He called me on the phone one day. He's like, hey, initially when that first fighter dropped out, he's like, hey, keep training. I want you to fight. I'm gonna get you a fight. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep working. And I promise, I'm going to do everything I can to get you on the card. And he came through. Again, big shout out to Daniel for his hard work.
Did you just keep doing what you were normally doing, preparing for the fight? I mean, obviously, you didn't know who you were going to fight for the longest time after the first guy dropped out. And I don't know, Nick, what his record was, if he had fought before or anything.
His very first, any sanctioned fight he's had, that was his very first one.
So you really didn't know what to prepare for with him either. So
I was a ghost, he was a ghost.
Sure.
It was two ghosts that had no idea of the background of the other.
Sure, so you just kind of probably worked towards your own strengths and depended on your own strengths more than anything.
That's exactly what the process for training was. So my three coaches, Jake Stein, Spence, and Robert, Spence and Robert are firemen here, and then Jake's a part-time officer. He works at the refinery full-time, and they just pretty much helped me chisel off my wrestling and then a lot of stand-up training, a lot of, I haven't really talked a lot about, you know, what Rob's process is in his mind as far as coaching goes, but he knows his stuff because he got me ready.
True. So eight months, I'm assuming that's daily, some type of training or workout.
So I was either, for me, you know, when I first started this, the day I decided to do it, you know, if I want to do something, you know, my ADHD brain, if I can fixate on something, then it's going to get done.
Yeah.
And you ask my wife that because I drive her crazy. Cause,
I can relate with that.
Yeah. But yeah, after I turned that app in, I was like, all right, I keyed in. I was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make sure I don't look like an idiot doing it.
100% focus from
them. Yeah. And there was, you know, the initial start of it, it was just a lot of, I switched up my, strength training and endurance, activity. So I wasn't doing a lot of, when I was in Tulsa, I was a power lifter. You know, that was
surely
something, not. Yeah. And it was a whole night and day difference though, you know, because typically on my training days, you know, prior to the fight, everything I was doing was basically just to help support me on the street, patrolling, making sure if something happened, I was able to take care of myself and the partners I have around me, the family I have around me, and make sure everyone got home safe.
Honestly, I would think, like we were talking about earlier before we went on the air, just the pure intimidation thing, I would think would cool off some situations with idiots, like, okay, I'm not going to piss this guy off kind of thing.
You'd think, but trust me, there's been people that have tried.
Really?
Yeah, not a lot.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall.
And that just goes with anything. A lot of those people, they're drunk or they're high. Right. You know, they don't really know what they're doing. So I can't say that anyone that's normal.
Unnamed or just drugs.
It's always something under the skin that you just don't see.
The more you trained and the harder you trained and prepared, did you notice a change within yourself, like cardio-wise? Were you worried about your cardio and being a big guy and getting gas during the fight and going too hard?
And I think Box will back me up on this and Spence both. For how big I am, it is very hard to make me tired. And that's just, I think that's just more genetics. I have wrestlers throughout my family. You know, I think just genetically, we've just always been gifted, and you know, I'm a big guy, but I'm not the biggest in my family. It goes way back to my great grandpa Leo. I mean, there's pictures of him sitting in a chair and his forearms are the size of some people's thighs.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a monster. But as far as my energy levels, I was not worried about my cardio at all. And that's just a testament, I think, to the wrestling, you know, cause that's just all wrestlers are. They're just endurance monsters, you know? But no, as far as the quickness, I noticed how much faster I was, you know, and with the training, it wasn't just a regimental thing of the hands-on stuff. It was the diet that was the biggest part. I made a decision to do a completely strict carnivore diet to lead up to the fight. And it progressively got more and more aggressive as far as the last 12 days of this waiting period where I was leading up to the weigh-in on Friday, the day before the fight, I had a 12-day carb cut. I didn't have a gram of carbs in my diet, and strictly just black coffee and water. Jeez. And think 3 days before the fight, I started just downing Pedialyte, you know, as much as I could get in my system to prepare for the fight. But yeah,
Is that typically what you've done? Like as soon as weigh-in's over, you're immediately trying to put water weight.
Absolutely. Yeah. After the weigh-in, I came in 2 pounds underweight, which not a big deal. But you know, when you're fighting a guy the size of Nick, and we'll get into the fight details, I'm assuming a little later, but you know, in my head, it was like every pound's going to count.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's, you can look at the guy and just be like, he's a monster. You know, this guy's a bull.
I would notice that he was weighed pretty much the same as you.
Yeah.
But he had a different physique. Sure. He had that old Dan Severinsen kind of, this dude chops wood and does shit in the country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sure. Like he was a big guy, but it was different.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I made a comment to my wife when we finally got back to the hotel room, and I just kind of was able to just breathe, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I just feel like I fought myself 10 years from now. You know what I mean? The guy was so similar. Mm-hmm. And it was a very surreal experience, you know, because to be honest, I've never had to go up against someone, you know, that was me. Right. You know what I mean? Like, not to sound
what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's like, but I'm happy I did it. Right. You know what I mean? It was it was something I'll be able to hold on my shoulder, and you know, be proud of the rest of my life. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us all about it. You walked in and they greased y'all up.
Yeah. So honestly, man, the process itself, you know, it all starts the week of, for me anyways, because I am. So one of my best friends, she's actually a lieutenant, Stephanie Randall. I don't know if you guys know her.
Yeah, I know.
So,
she was in a picture.
Yeah. So I always made the comment to her, especially when I first started with the police department, I told her I'm toxically competitive. It's my only one of my worst, you know, we all have toxic traits. One of my worst traits is when a competition arises, like I get a chip on my shoulder. I do. And I'm not a jerk about it, but it's more of an internal thing for me. Like I am my worst critic. Anyone that knows me would tell you that. Like you can critique me all you want. You won't hurt my feelings.
We need to get him on Call of Duty.
Yeah, Shit. Trust me, whatever you're going to say to me, I'll say something way worse.
Oh man, there's some stuff been said.
I mean, I'm not going to go outside and wrestle in the dirt, but I can talk some smack. I'll say.
Hey, man, you better. That's the one thing I've never had the skill of, man. I've never been quick at the cheek.
Just back it up.
First time we ever played together, the three of us, we can't see each other, of course.
Yeah.
But he started on one of his things. And
One of my things.
Did we send each other a message or something? Or the next time we saw each other, it was like, so that guy, huh?
Yeah, this guy.
Wow, that was interesting. Anyway, go ahead.
But I'm telling you, all these shit-talking dudes on video games, if you just go completely out of left field with something, they're like, wow.
I got nothing.
No, you'll shut them up.
I don't even know what to say.
I understand completely.
Anyway, sorry.
Real awkward, quick.
You're good. Yeah, so for me, it was that. The whole process was surreal, you know,
I can imagine. Jeez, that's crazy,
The last month of the time before the fight, I know, like, I couldn't even talk to my grandma, you know, Mitch's wife, Roxy. I don't know if you remember.
I don't know.
Okay. So I'm a grandma's boy through and through. Anyone that knows me would say that. And the demeanor I had to change and the process of getting ready for something like this, I didn't realize it was going to make me as on edge as I was. Mm-hmm. And I owe my wife more than I can put into words, because she put up with a lot that last month, especially because it was every little thing would get on my nerves. Every little thing was just, I was snappy, you know, I was unfair, but it was all due to just this mental zone I was in of, like, you know, what was about to happen and how bad I wanted it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, so yeah, that last week, man, is when it all really keyed in, and I was like, "Oh my God, like this is about to happen!" Like, you know, and honestly, guys, I have to give a shout out just to the city, in general, because it was overwhelming, especially the last few days. And I do apologize for not getting to you before the fight, man. I'll be frank though, I was so zoned in. I wouldn't have been a good conversation anyway.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't, you needed to worry about the guy that was going to be hitting you. So don't worry about that. Yeah.
But you know, just the overwhelming people reaching out and being like, "Hey man, good luck," or you know, even what Hirsch's did with the knockout blend call, you know, small stuff like that I just wasn't expecting. Cuz in my head, I'm doing this just because it's something I need to do for me. You know, it's just this, again, I've always had an appreciation of the sport. I think it's the greatest sport in the world. And having the opportunity to be a part of that community really meant the world.
Because it's just you know?
Yeah.
I mean, your blame is on you for shortcomings, your psychology, that's all you. There's no place to hide.
No.
In a crowd, on a team, anything like that. Yeah. I mean.
No,
you're right. There's insanely talented people in that sport.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. And it was just a humbling experience, you know? So yeah, the week of was when it really kicked in. It was just a lot of focus, you know, and I was grumpy because, you know, not having any carbs and just being in a bad mood all the time. And I was probably horrible to work with on shift too, because
dehydrating yourself basically.
Oh yeah. You know, I walk around. So yeah, it's not super hard, for me to cut weight. But I walk around typically about 235 pounds. I wanted to fight at 225 just because of the challenge of it, and I felt like it was going to be a more entertaining matchup. When it ended up, you know, coming through, mm-hmm. it was, I think. Yeah. And, yeah, so Friday, at the, you know, the time of the weigh-in, you know, my wife and I wake up, and I don't think I said a lot of words that day. I don't remember. But I held it together, I think, pretty well. She can see right through it, but... You know, we get there and you go to the Firefighter History Museum, which is in this downtown Tulsa next to a graveyard.
I know exactly where you're at. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was where the weigh-ins were at. And you walk in and it was like walking through a portal almost, because you're just like, you instant, like, it's just a whole nother realm. You know, you're surrounded by guys that, you know, most of these guys have trained for years, you know, the coaches, they're there. And then I look to my left and there's Nick, the guy I'm about to have to square off with. Mm. You know, we're 3 feet away from each other. And it's just like, that's when it all really came to reality. You know, and Mike Tyson's got a great, great quote where, you know, where I don't know if it's a quote, but he's just talking about his process of, you know, how afraid he was leading up to fights until you look at the other person you're fighting and then it becomes reality. You know, and that's what I had to tell myself. It's like, okay, this is real now. Like, you've signed up for this, you've committed to this, you've trained for this, it's time to perform now. And when I walked that door and saw Nick standing, you know, waiting on the way in and doing the same exact stuff everyone else was doing, it was like, all right, this is reality now. You can either choose to be afraid or you can choose to push through and mm-hmm. and be afraid. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I wasn't scared, because I was. It was this very scary feeling, but...
So I've been in fights, and weird things about the kind of fights I've been in is I don't know that you really realize that you're doing anything until you're in the middle of a fight, and then the fight's over. But the idea of, tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'm going to hit the hell out of you, and you're going to hit me.
Yes,
that doesn't compute to my
brain.
That
was my question. Mm-hmm. When
that's
younger,
the mindset you
get in
have.
Fights, you're usually pissed off at somebody for one reason or another, but mm-hmm. you, I don't know, have no ill will towards that guy
and
at
I
all.
Didn't, you know? I mean, I actually, no, he...
Which a lot of, I mean, that's a lot of what that sport is. Like, you don't necessarily have to hate the person.
Yeah, the mindset of a fighter. Like
like a
fighter that's really going to do something.
It's
not
so much different.
Not some dumbasses out, you know, drinking and just beating the hell out of each other.
Right. The best way I can describe it is, so I'm a sissy when it comes to heights, right? Like, I will never jump out of a plane. I will never, just keep me off a roof. You know, I've never liked them. Can't handle them. It's the same concept for me. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, it must be your agent.
Yeah, apparently I'm your agent, more popular today than I have been in a while.
Stop calling Dana White. Yeah. Stop calling.
Yeah. No, so I compared it to someone that wants to bungee jump or skydive. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I always have been. And that type of sport and competition has always driven mm-hmm. me. You know, and again, I can't really explain it other than that. It's just the adrenaline rush of it all. That's the type of adrenaline rush that I work for. That's what I enjoy. That's where I thrive in.
Right.
So,
I'm interested in the psychology. You're kind of on the subject mm-hmm. of, and so let's move into the actual fight a little bit, right? Okay. You're at the weigh-ins, and so that gets over with. Day of the fight comes. You're waiting. You know, backstage or wherever, right?
Longest 6 hours of my life.
No kidding,
dude.
Right?
I am telling you, man. I could have walked through a wall to get out of that place.
Stir crazy, pacing around.
I've never felt that type of anxiety before in my life, and I'm just naturally an anxious person.
Mm-hmm. Just back there in a locker room. With
people? They took us in a. You felt like you were in a bunker, but it was a locker room, and you know. So it's a whole process. You know, they tell us after the weigh-in, you make weigh-in. It's like, hey, go eat, go rehydrate, be here at 3:30 tomorrow. Fights start at 7. We have a lot of prep before then. You know, you do your physical. You know, they go through obviously the ref comes in the back and tells you, hey, here's what you can and can't do. But you know, all that's done leading up on fight night, leading up to the fight, right? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I was in a locker room for six, six-ish hours with my team, and we were just, I mean, I maybe said three words. Man, I was just...
So then, fast forward a little bit.
Yeah,
after the... Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, so he's fight number 10 of the night, 11, if I remember. Yeah. 11.
Yes,
there you
sir.
Go. So you got to wait through 10 fights. Everybody else is right. Probably kind of back there with you. They're exiting out, yeah. You know, and yeah. You're like, okay, well, my time, my number's getting ready to get yeah. called here. And so they call you up, man, and they're like, okay, be on the ready or whatever. They sure. tell you 2 minutes, whatever, yeah. You know, the call is. And then you get up to the door, the entryway and whatnot. They start playing your music.
Mm-hmm.
You come out, people are screaming, yelling, what's going through your mind? The walk, you're going down, you're in the cage. What's in your mind during that whole process?
So when I was back there waiting the whole time, I have a shout out for Jake Stein, one of my coaches, because he pulled me into the hall probably about 7. I started warming up about 7 because we noticed that people were getting TKO'd and submitted, and it's like, okay, these aren't going the full yeah. 3, so like yeah. hey man, horse is coming down the line, time to hop on the wagon, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, so Jake pulls me out in the hall. He knew I needed what he did for me in that moment, because I was keyed in pretty well, but he just kind of did that snap in my, you know, snap the fingers in the face and like really focused me. He's like, he looked at me, he's like, hey, listen, I know this is for charity and you're doing it for all the right reasons. He's like, but here's the deal. You came to win. He's like, you need to focus. And pretty much he told me that the guy across the cage, you need to go try and kill him now. Hmm. And he said, you need to have that mindset. He's like, you want to win that belt, right? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. He's like, yeah. Well, then that's what it's going to take to win. Because he goes, pretty much this guy's here to do the same thing to you.
Did you get to keep the belt? That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool.
So when the bell rings, do mm-hmm. you remember a lot of the details in the fight?
I had to rewatch the footage. Yeah. There was a lot that I... All the important stuff I do remember, but, you know, I didn't even know I hit him with 3 uppercuts. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I...
You sure did.
Yeah, I didn't remember any of that.
Do you attribute like your wrestling background? Because I think one of the most impressive things about your fight, because I watched it 3 or 4 times,
mm-hmm.
of course, you know, knocking the guy out so he's counting sheep, but getting up off, like he had you on your back.
Yeah.
He was on top yeah. of you and you got out of that pretty damn quick.
Yeah. So I definitely give, I give a lot of that to the wrestling, but really Spencer, he's got a BJJ background and he just drilled it into me. You know, he's like, if you get on your back, and you can get up against the fence. He's like, get up, get up, yeah. get up, get up, get up.
And you took a couple little hits getting up.
But. Yeah, so that whole process. So we'll fast forward into that. When we first exchanged, I could see it in his eyes. He was a bull. And I was like, all right, this dude's going to bum rush me. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling those guys, I was like, you know, I got this gut feeling that this guy is going to try and just rush me. And so my whole game plan, bell rings, hold the center of the cage and back him into the fence. Well, when we initially touched gloves and it was game time, he rounded out to his left and he started moving towards that cage. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw straight
right
two.
Yeah.
And he went straight into a clinch and was not expecting that, honestly. I thought, really? I thought it, we were going to throw, and I thought it was just going to be a who hits harder or who can take a punch better.
Hmm.
So he caught me off guard when he grabbed me.
Maybe he got scared in a hurry.
Well, you know, I think that he had a game plan, and he told me about it after, you know, when we met at the bar at the end of the fight. And
oh, really? Oh,
but yeah, so he grabbed me, and I could feel him leaning into me. Right, so strong guy. Initially, upon first contact, I could tell. I was like, all right, this dude's at least got a lot of strength. So we grapple. Wrap each other up, and he moves me back into the cage. So initially, my plan was to hip toss him. I was gonna, because I could feel him really digging in and leaning into me. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try and hip toss him, use his right. leverage against him, and put him on the ground, you know, with the cage. And I was gonna essentially do what he ended up doing to me, right?
Right.
Well, I misjudged. I made a mistake, and I thought I was closer to the cage because I was gonna use the cage as leverage for myself to not fall. Mm-hmm. Well, turns out I wasn't anywhere as close as I needed to be. So when I tried to do that hip toss, I threw my own legs out from under me.
Yeah,
and
fell back a little bit.
Yeah, and he got on top of me. And, you know, when he was on top of me, I remember very vividly thinking to myself, you need to stand up.
I was just getting ready to say, was that like you on your back? Were you like, oh, shit?
I was more angry than anything because really? I was like, that was a stupid mistake, man. Like, right. You are better than this. You've trained for this. And I said to myself, I was like, now
not
you get
going
to get
out like that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely not. And I said to myself, you're going to get hit in the face a couple times, but you need to stand up. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he hit me with a couple really good wide right hooks.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, so I was watching it live, man, and mm-hmm. you got up. I'm like, sweet, he's up, and then you got clipped, and I'm like, oh, shit, and you kind of went backwards, and mm-hmm. I thought you were going to go all the way to the back of the cage and bounce off the fence and come back at
See,
him.
That's mm-hmm. what I thought.
But you backed up, and you stopped, and then, I mean, you clocked him. And
yeah.
You hit him night, right in the ear, you know? Right in front of the ear.
Yeah, so I could hear my corner, Spence in particular, he's screaming, uppercut, uppercut. Well, I knew what they wanted me to do because he was every time I would start trying to strike with him, he would go back into a clinch, but he would drop his head and he would leave his face wide open. Mm. So they wanted me to time that and get an opening on his chin. Mm-hmm. So when he hit me, one, he hits very hard.
I gotta know, were you seeing birds at that point?
So he when he hit me, and we've all been there, even if you just hit your head really hard on a door or a table right. getting off mm-hmm. the, you know, it was stars.
Yeah.
You know, I could see yeah. him.
Bright light.
But the mm. weird, this is the weirdest thing. And, you know, maybe it's just the adrenaline rush. I don't know. I knew where my group was at, all the people that came to support and, you know, wearing the shirts and this family that I've had all along that you just don't realize you have until you go through something like this, mm-hmm. right? And I just remember seeing this big black blob in the crowd of the black t-shirts because they took three rows up in the section that was like right midline of the fishbowl. So it was mm-hmm. right out of the corner of my right eye.
Awesome.
And I just remember seeing them right before he hit me. And it's almost like that was like stamped in my brain as a photo right as he mm-hmm. clocked me. And I remember I was just like, here's your shot right here, because he hit me, I stumbled back, I came to and was pretty well back into it towards the middle when I was stumbling back, but he hit me hard enough to knock me off balance.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get my footing. Sheesh. I looked back and I saw where the cage was at, so that's pretty much when I planted my back foot and I could see him coming right at me.
Yeah.
So I'm a pocket fighter as far as my striking goes. I like to keep it close. When he came and I saw his head duck, I just tucked my right hand and I threw a really tight right hook as hard as I could. I put every single bit of power, all my weight was in that right hook.
Yeah.
And I felt it touch the back of his ear, and then I felt his body lean into me and he fell, and I just followed him to the ground. And to be honest, I mean, it couldn't have worked better. Like it was...
It was a weird hit. Yeah. I had to watch it, and they slowed it down. I'm like, did he hit him in the damn ear?
Yeah.
And then it slowed it down. I'm like, he hit him right in the side of the head. It was really quick, man.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, if he was just a split second faster, you'd have hit him in the back of the head.
Yeah. No, it was. And to be honest, I was, you know, with those types of punches, you know, you're really more aiming for like a jaw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like more trying to. So he moved quicker than I thought. You know, the one thing I will say is, you know, initially especially when we stood back up from him getting me on the ground, I could see spit coming out of his mouth because he was breathing so hard. And I was like, all right, so.
And you got a couple of good hits on him then, too.
Yeah, that was when I knew he was getting tired. So I was like, well, you know, if this does go past the first round, I knew I could fight three rounds. I had no issues with going through the full three, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had trained, whether we were sparring or grappling, every single training session, it was 2 minutes at a time. Two mm-hmm. minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Keep going. And so, yeah, I knew he was wearing out, and I had to find my timing. And fortunately for me, you know, training came through.
She pushes you off, that bell rings, like that, the feeling. Like, that's something you'll remember for the rest of your life, I'm sure.
Yeah. Surreal. You know, just for me, man, it was the emotion of it all was like, it kind of brought me back to, you know, unfortunately, growing up, like, and this is me beating myself up a little bit. My grandpa died when I was a little, you know, he passed away. I was unfortunately, due to circumstances, not even able to make it to his funeral. And, you know, he taught me a lot growing up that I never really have told a lot of people about. And just the overwhelming, I look up and I just see, well, one, you know, the adrenaline rush, you know, it's just an immediate, like, you know, it's a weird feeling between anger and like excitement, because like I was pissed that he hit me so hard and he caught me, like, and it just flipped a switch on, man. Yeah. And indeed, just like one of the announcers said, I did see red. You know, he smooth pissed me off. Like, I was extremely angry.
That's exactly what my wife said. She saw it before I did. She goes, I think he pissed him off. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, that cop. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, he pissed him off.
And, but yeah, man, it just, you know, walking away and, you know, celebrating a little bit. But then I looked up and I just see all these people. You know, it's like, and I'm like, wow, like,
all the support and all the hard
work. Yeah, you know, you just don't realize what you have until you, you know, you do, and it's like definitely something I won't ever forget.
Yeah, it was awesome, and it was a big deal. I mean, it's super cool too that Johnny Hendricks was one of the commentators of your fight, man. That's awesome, right?
Yeah, no, I mean that was surreal in itself. You know, having him watch me fight is crazy. It's always been the other way around. You know,
yeah, it's cool.
It is cool.
As far as next year goes, I'm going to talk my wife into it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And a few other people. For me, man, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I have to be for real. I'm not going to make a promise to anything, because I need to understand, like, I didn't realize it until after it was all said and done. And we were kind of hanging out talking about it. It's like, man, a lot of people put a lot of emotion into this for me. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife is she's a badass. I'll just say it. Like, she's a badass. And I would not be who I am without her. And then, you know, Stephanie and Emily, all these people who just put so much. Yeah, Emily, you know, she's the one that got the shirts put together and designed it. And it's just like all this support, all I had to do was show up, train, and be prepared. You know what I mean? But it brought into perspective how much emotions go into that sport for the people that support the fighter. You know, like, my mom was in the crowd. That I would have lost a bet thinking she would have showed up back. But I guess she got so, you know, she saw me win, but she had to leave. You know, just the emotions of it all. You know, and there was a lot of emotional people in that crowd. You know, that just, I'm sure when they saw me go down, it's just their stomachs just dropped. You know what I mean?
Right.
Did
other guy have pretty big support group? I guess his local people.
Yeah, or? You know, he. I mean, again, I can't thank Nick enough. Taking a fight like that 2 months, you know, he told me that, you know, when we talked after, he had been looking for a fight, and it was something he was preparing for, I think, anyways, but he just didn't know he was going to have one until 2 months out, you know, which I guess I can say the same, because first guy I had dropped, and we were waiting for a few months, 4 months maybe, maybe a little less. It's all like a blur now, but... I mean, I met his wife, I met his mom and dad, you know, and they were all out at the bar right across the street after, you know, everything was said and done, and they were all super, I mean, even Nick came up to me, and the first thing I said to him, I was like, bro, you hit like a truck. I was like, I've never been hit that hard. He's like, yeah, well, neither have I. He's like, yeah, hopefully I can get a chance, you know, to go train with him, and, you know, we can stay in communication, you know, because that's the one cool thing about this sport is, if it's done in the right mindset, you know, you make a lot of new friends.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Really cool.
Awesome. It was a good time. I wish I'd have been there in person.
Thanks for the support of it all. It was
neat. I mean, it was cool when Box started doing it, and you know, it was fun watching him last year, and he was winning that damn fight until he sprang a leak. He was winning that fight.
No, I and Box is a troop, man. Like, he's just got a good head on his shoulders, and he's got a good sense of humor, and he'll say every time, he's like, you can win 5 of the 6 minutes and still lose. So careful.
That's for sure.
He's been in here before, hung out with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good guy,
a good guest, man. People come in here and don't talk. You talk. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say before we leave?
I just want to say thank you to everyone and you guys for having me.
It's awesome.
Just the support is insane, man, and I'm very proud to have been able to represent the Ville the way I did. So
well, we glad you did Coffeeville good. You know, we got to talk about your grandpa after we get off here.
Sure.
So, all right.
And after we wrestle out in the grass.
You and him? Or
yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good God.
Get the camera out.
Don't stop recording.
No.
Derek's going to get folded up like a fucking pretzel.
Quick little story before I leave what he's talking about. A friend of mine, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen Urban Hillbilly Action videos, the race car stuff.
Okay.
And he was having a conversation with the fella,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty heated. Mm. And I'm like, hey, man, looks like it's actually going to kind of be something here. And he said, yep. He said, he might whip my ass. Don't stop recording. Because that's all he could think about was views. I'm like, damn, Sean,
don't
really?
Don't stop recording.
Yeah, don't stop recording. All right. All right, Jared, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Go over to WKOpodcast.com and leave a donation if you did. And you can call in and shout them out if you want.
Yeah, 620-625-0146. Tell us what you think.
Also, go to the website under the merch page. Derek over here has got our WKOP campout shirts ready, and there's a bunch of little insider stuff. If you've been to the campouts, you'll know, or if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know. All right, see you guys later.